Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XSourceAndX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Damian. You can find on Twitter at Damian Johnston. Chris won't be joining us today because he all of a sudden just remembered he had to go out for the day with his wife and her friends. So that was kind of weird. Let's see. Our number one for the day is Blood Blister on Aftershock. And our over-under is Carnival. No? Maybe?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I like it.
Yeah, we also have a bunch of other podcasts you can listen to at comicroast.com, and you can check out our written reviews at reviewandroast.com.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
Do it.
So... I haven't done a lot this week, little bit of reading, but I actually recently started playing that Terra. I don't know if I mentioned it last week or not, but I've been playing that a lot this week. It's kind of fun, not going to lie. I mean, it's, you know, the MMO PC variety of games. I'm already level like 25 or some shit, but with the gear that I'm wearing, I'm already like level 80, so like I just run around and smash everything. But of course, I'm still in the beginning here. Not that impressive. It's turning out to be pretty fun because it has controller support, and I know all you PC people are going to dork out on me, but I just can't stand playing with a mouse and keyboard, and it's whatever. It's stupid. Controllers are where it's at.
I agree.
Nailed it.
It's like a... Oh, okay, so it's a PC game, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been around for quite a few years. I've been looking into trying to play it for a few years now, but I finally just downloaded it last week, and it's a lot of fun. Not going to lie. I mean, I got my friend Jeff and my friend Max both downloaded it, but they both have not played it nowhere near as much as I have. So it's kind of like if they, you know, when they catch up, it'll be fun because we can run around together. But until then, I'm just hammering through the missions, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know. I think I saw like 2 seconds or so.
Well, yeah, because like every time there was a lull in the game, Max would whip out his laptop and turn it on. It's like, dude, seriously? pay attention here. You're level one, for Christ's sake. You just made a character. You just go play with it later.
Third life, man.
I know, right?
Now, this week has been a roller coaster of nonsense.
Yeah.
A lot of craziness happening right now. That's all I'll say about that. And I've been sick for like the last 4 days up until kind of today. I guess I'm finally getting over it. But I literally just laid in bed and watched week long. I felt like crap pretty much since Tuesday. And, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what I'm going to be doing here now. So nothing to report. This week sucked. Glad it's over with.
Yeah. I'm with you. I was super sick this week as well.
Yeah, my friend at work was sick, and I don't know.
Yeah, it was awful. We had a work party on Sunday, and I felt okay. And then I drove my wife home, and I got to the store, and all of a sudden I had that. You ever get that moment where you're like, oh, shit, I'm going to be sick tomorrow? Like, it just hits you. Like, you get this, like, hot weight that just appears in your head, kind of.
Yep.
Yeah, I got that, and I was just like, oh, man, I'm going to be sick. And I was pretty sick Monday. I managed to go to work for a few hours. They just needed me there, although I'm like, I'm sick. You don't really need a sick person there. It's kind of shitty for me to show up, but okay, I'll do it. And I just kind of kept my distance from everyone and washed my hands constantly. And Tuesday, I was just out. Wednesday's out, but they needed me again. So the last 2 hours, I was feeling a little better because I'd been filled with Advil for the last 3 days. And at one point that night, I sneezed into a tissue, and it was just full of blood.
Oh, ouch.
Like, to the point where I was like, I should maybe look this up real quick and make sure that wasn't, like, my brain or something.
Wait, your brain?
Yeah, but it was apparently I just had, like, a wicked infection somewhere in my sinuses. And, like, almost immediately afterwards, like, the right side of my face just felt, like, open and free for the first time in days. Still on the, not totally on the other side of it, but feeling a million times better. My wife's been sick, too. But, yeah, this week's just been me being sick. I haven't played a little video games, a little Destiny and a little Skyrim. But aside from that, I haven't done much outside of work and being sick. I was excited about the judge lifting the immigration ban. I thought that was pretty funny because you got to watch Trump, like, essentially try to go to war with the judiciary branch of the government. It's fun to watch him realize that he has zero idea what's going on. Like, I don't think he's ever taken a civics class before. I don't think he understands, like, that there's three branches of the government. I don't think he understands that judges can totally do that. And also, apparently, this judge that Trump's mocking has also fostered, like, numerous children. He's, like, some really sweet, wonderful person. And so it's just, I just like watching Donald Trump look like a jackass. It's been fun.
I think my enjoyment from that has come from watching people still try to defend it. And I'm like, oh, God, you're, like, running out of rope real quick here.
Yeah. I saw some tweet that said something like, I love that all the Donald Trump supporters who don't know the difference between your and your are suddenly now constitutional scholars.
The one that I found amazingly hilarious was all the boycott Starbucks things about, oh, they're going to hire all these refugees. What about our veterans? And within seconds, people are like, nope, they're hiring veterans too. Why don't you take that and try it again? And then all these people just kind of went, whew. So that was pretty good.
It's been great.
No, it's just annoying because those people are always the people that they literally get their news from Facebook. So it's like, dude, you can't believe anything you read on there.
You know, honestly, I don't really feel like that's necessarily the worst thing. It just depending on where on Facebook you're getting it from.
Okay, if you're following, you know, news stories from like NPR or, you know, an actual news source, then yeah, okay, that's fine. But if you're looking at your friend Jim Bob's page about Trump just is the best and Obama is a Muslim, it's like, all right, you can't really trust them. Then again,
my mom always sent me stuff like that from there, and it's like, oh, God.
No, I know. You know, I'm not going to go into tons of detail, but there was, you know, a conversation I had the other day where I was just talking about something, and all of a sudden the one lady I was in the room with was like, yeah, and they're giving these refugees all this free stuff, just a free ride. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's not how that works at all. A lot of them have families here that sponsor them. I'm like, and the rest, yeah, okay, we'll pay for their plane ticket, but they have to pay that back. And then we rent them a shitty apartment and give them $1,000 to, like, cover 3 months' rent. So what does that tell you about that apartment if it's $300 a month? You know what I mean? Like, they're not getting a free fucking ride. Get off that whole myth. It's not happening.
Yeah, no, it's exactly, it's just myth.
It's way more complicated than you realize.
Not to mention, if we were literally giving a free ride to all these people accused of getting a free ride, we'd all be broke. We'd all be living in a dumpster because there would be no money left.
Right, yeah. It's ridiculous.
This myth of everyone getting a free ride is hilarious because there's only a finite amount of money in circulation.
Right, and let's face it, the people getting the freest ride are the people with the most money.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same people who say, like, we'll all be rich. It's like, do you understand how wealth works?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No.
Wealth is dependent on other people being poor.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's ridiculous.
If we were all millionaires, a gallon of milk would cost $800. You know what I mean?
Wow, you think it'd be that cheap?
No, but it's just a number that's way higher than it is now.
Do you guys ever watch Arrested Development?
Like 100 times.
Yeah, we were watching it last night.
I always think about the thing where Job's talking about the bananas. He's like, how much can a banana cost? Like $5. Just like, they're so out of touch.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the episode where they open the banana stand across from the banana stand?
No. I remember that. I think it's the one where... I think it was just actually one of the first ones where Michael had asked Job to stop asking George Michael for free bananas or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was the Job, okay. It was like the double-dipped, double peanuts.
I thought it was the one where him and Steve Holt opened the banana stand across from the other banana stand.
Oh.
Well, there was the other one, too, where Lucille was like, oh, it was a gallon of milk. What is that, $40? Or, you know, it's the same thing, you know. But, that show is unbelievable. How good. Oh, it's kind of like my go-to when I, like, don't want to start something new. All right, so the number one for the week was Blood Blister on Aftershock, which was Brian's pick. So he's got the book in front of him. It's open up. It's written by Phil Hester and, I believe, drawn by Tony Harris.
Nailed it.
I'm awesome. So we're going to let Brian run through this little synopsis for you, give you a little breakdown.
Is that a word?
Word.
No.
Is that a word?
It's for me, it is.
I mean, that's
all right. Blood Blister is a story about a lawyer named Brian Hull, who is in the beginning, he's in rural Oklahoma going door to door trying to get residents to sign on to a class action lawsuit that kind of doesn't get fully explained, but you can tell pretty easily that he's targeting people of modest means and below. He's looking for people to essentially sign off on their land for a small payout, to which I'm assuming that his company will eventually turn around in some deal to make a killing off of. So while he's at this house in Oklahoma, there is a bedridden young daughter that has never spoken before, and then all of a sudden she raises her head and starts screaming at him about being the son of the devil or some weird thing of that nature, and he basically laughs it off and does the whole ha 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 whatever, she's crazy anyway, sign this. Goes back to Chicago. He's going through the turnstile in his building, and this homeless guy basically starts accosting him with the whole, you know, reject mammon, reject the devil, yada yada, so forth. He goes upstairs, has a meeting. Boss basically tells him to get the remaining holdouts in this Oklahoma land deal to sign on. So clearly this guy is one of these workaholic Romney types that just puts his business and his earnings above all else. And we come to find out he's got a kid who he continually disappoints. He's supposed to have the kid for the weekend, and he's busy. He's supposed to meet up the kid with the kid at an event, and he doesn't show up, or he sends his secretary to go there in his car to, you know, be in his place, like, incognito. And anyway, he starts noticing he's got this blood blister on his wrist or his arm, and he's picking at that. And while he's picking at that, his wife's screaming at him about, you know, you blew off your son yet again, and this is why he's going to grow up to resent you. And then he finally goes, all right, fine, I'll go pick him up from work. I'll drop him off at home. And there I did my dad duty for the week. Yay. So his son either is at a haunted house or works at a haunted house, goes to pick up his son, and madness ensues. So for me, I kind of felt like this. I'll admit that I liked House of a Thousand Corpses because it's just so ridiculous that it's kind of enjoyable. And I like The Devil's Rejects because even though it is a flawed movie, it's kind of a Peckinpah-esque road movie crossed with like Texas Chainsaw Massacre a little bit. Just kind of a good, filthy movie. But every successive Rob Zombie movie has been pretty much awful. And when you see it being conceived in a trailer, you feel like he's got like a handful of adjectives and nouns that he just is going to go with all the time, and those generally are Satan and murder and, you know, gore. And then he kind of just goes, okay, let's see. I'm going to start with my usual, and then let's see. All right, this time, clowns and animal husbandry, go. And he just conceives a movie. He, like, basically vomits a movie out at you from there. And that's kind of, like, I feel like this was sort of better conceived, but I feel like it was still in that kind of Rob Zombie-esque territory of just, like, I'm going to throw this concept at you, and it's going to get really wacky out of nowhere for no really explainable reason. So, woo.
Yeah, I get with that.
And it could be because, honestly, like, I didn't think the writing was terrible. I, like, kind of like the idea of this guy who's, you know, the me first. I'm trying to maintain my 1%er lifestyle. And he, you know, does so by basically blowing off everyone around him and being concerned with only himself, who is presumably going to get his comeuppance for doing so. But I feel like the artwork doesn't match this story at all. I really felt like this was a semi kind of serious-ish horror attempt at a story mixed with Garbage Pail Kids artwork, and it's just weird. And I couldn't get past, like, the characters being super exaggerated and wacky the whole time. Do you remember those, like, 80s heavy metal compilations that came out where, like, labels, they weren't putting together a, remember how, like, hardcore, like, labels would put together a compilation where bands would submit, like, a unique song?
Yeah.
But do you remember, like, back before that in the 80s where, like, these metal labels would put out compilations where they were basically just label samplers?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And then they would dress it up with some wacky racers artwork with like a crazy guy with knives riding in a small car super fast through a brick wall or whatever, and be called like super death compilation. Ah! Like, that's what I felt like reading this. I was like, oh my god, this is like one of those 80s metal compilations turned into a comic book. I just felt like the artwork was screaming at me the whole time, so I was like, ah.
I'm pulling it up right now so I can look at it again. I remember feeling like it had kind of an EC Comics sort of vibe, but I mean, nothing like a Bernie Wrightson or anything like that. Gosh, where is it? I got it unlocked, so I didn't. Okay, it's pretty weird. It reminds me of someone a lot, but I cannot remember who the hell it reminds me of. Yeah, like the hands are real like bubbly and like kind of like globby. I don't know, is that the right word?
Yeah,
I don't know. It definitely has that EC Bernie Wrightson kind of vibe at times, especially like the moments where almost like near the end of the book where he's kind of having his nightmare vision thing, where there's just so much black. Like, I thought that was pretty good. But his general like shape of lines is kind of has this level of cartooniness that doesn't really kind of communicate maybe like the scariness that's supposed to be happening.
Yeah, it felt like a wacky funhouse acid trip cartoon segue in a weird movie.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm just kind of going over it again. The blood blister thing of the title is really weird and gross. It's kind of, I find that sort of fascinating. I don't know if I find it fascinating to continue, but I was sort of interested by just that what the hell that's all going to be about, because that was really gross.
Just thinking ahead, I'm thinking it's like, you know, the boils and the whole, I don't know, weird devil, hell, blisters, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Yeah, I generally don't get super pumped at the idea of devil and Satan stories anyway, because I feel like they're super cheesy. But
yeah,
I feel like
kind of 90s.
Yeah, or late 80s or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like when one is thrown at you where it feels like it's a nonstop guitar solo, I'm just like, oh, dude.
I didn't get the nonstop guitar solo. I didn't. The artwork didn't bother me at all. I didn't even think about the whole like it's too cartoony. I can't take it seriously. Like, I really like this, and I'll tell you, there's only two things about it that I didn't really that stood out as kind of odd. And one was after his secretary came back, and she's like, "Oh my god, I just left. I didn't know what to do. He was running towards the car. Blah blah blah." And he's like, "That's fine. You shouldn't have been there anyway. It should have been me." And then she was like, "Okay, do you want me to clean up your garbage?" He's like, "No, you fucked up enough already for today." It's like, well, that kind of just doesn't jive with what you just said to her. Thought that was a little weird. And I really was like, did this thing really just end after the first page, after the middle of the book? That was a little weird to me. I thought there was going to be more to it, not just half a book and then half of just advertising for the rest of their books, I guess.
They're kind of getting in that vein lately, and it's sort of annoying because I feel like Image, they'll give you like a 2-page preview of something, but most of the book is the book you're buying.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Aftershock's really just stuffing the back half of their books now with a preview and then ads for the books that are coming, which are fine, but I mean, not what I bought.
Right, yeah.
I can thumb through the new book when it comes out. I don't need you to like bombard me with constant ads for it.
Especially if it's a book like the second part of Rough Riders. Like, dude, everyone who's going to read that is already reading it. They don't need a preview.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
I don't think the artwork's necessarily bad. I just think it's bad for this book.
I didn't see that at all. I disagree, but that's...
I don't know. I didn't dislike it at all. I just wasn't really blown away either. Not that I need to be blown away. I just didn't care, I guess, a ton. I feel like I've read this before. Maybe not this story. I mean, the story could be totally unique, and I did see it sort of feeling... like, when you compare it to Rob Zombie movies, like, I felt like it kind of... I don't know what it's going to be going for. Is it going to be shocking? Is this character going to be someone who's redemptive? Or are we watching someone kind of fall apart? I don't know. I just don't know. I just didn't get a real sense of what... For a first issue, I just didn't really get much of a sense of anything. I got a little bit of world building and a little bit of character. But the character didn't fully realize to me. Like, is he kind of a dickhead? Like, is he sort of like a, you know, Bill Murray and Scrooge kind of guy, like a workaholic guy? He's kind of... I've been watching a lot of Bill Murray movies lately. Or is he more like Bill Murray and Groundhog Day at the beginning?
Groundhog Day is one of the best movies ever, just saying.
Yeah, I watch it every Groundhog Day, but I watch it probably like 6 times a year, man. I love that movie. Yeah. I just now noticed, by the way, to go a little quick side about Groundhog Day. I've seen that movie probably like, not even kidding, like 50 times. I never noticed the part where he broke the pencil until this last time I watched it.
It's been a while, and I maybe have only seen it like 30 times, so I might need...
Yeah, at one point, going to bed, he breaks a pencil and puts it on top of the radio. Oh. He wakes up in the morning and the pencil's fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I just, I mean, I must have seen it and just not really registered, like, that I saw it or something, because this is the first time I was like, whoa, is that new? Is that an addition? My wife's like, no, it's been the movie the entire time. I was like, oh, okay, wow. I've never noticed that before.
Yeah, I don't remember where I read this, but somebody, I guess for lack of a better term, did the math about how long he would have had to been reliving the same day to acquire all the skills, i.e., you know, being able to play the piano and all the other stuff he was doing. And it was a ridiculously long time. Like, it was, it baffled me, but I wish I could remember the exact amount of time. But I think we could probably discuss this movie all day long. At least I know I could, so.
We could have a separate podcast just on Groundhog Day, the movie, if you want.
I totally could, but I'll shut up now or else I'm going to keep going.
I've only seen it, like, twice, I think.
Pfft, noob.
I'm so jealous that you get to see it 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times now. And I'll never be able to relive that 3rd or 4th time. But yeah, no. Yeah, so I guess I just didn't really get a strong sense of anything. I mean, like I said, the artwork to me had that kind of EC vibe, which I generally like that stuff. I generally like that stuff, but I felt like it was a little, like, cartoony.
Aww.
And I felt maybe could have been maybe a little edgier, but I don't know. I guess that didn't really bother me a ton either. I just noticed the hands looked real gushy. Like, everyone looks soft, like really hydrated. but yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to come up with something either really negative or really even positive to say, and I don't really have anything. I'm really, really middle of the road on this one.
Yeah, and in truth, even though it sounded like I was bashing it, I kind of am as well, because, like I said, I'm reading it going, the writing's pretty decent. I don't dislike this, but the artwork is just throwing me off. It's like a really, it's like if a song has a really awkward guitar solo, I can to go back to guitar solos, but it just feels like when something comes in from out of left field, it's like out of place. It just throws the rhythm off for some reason. And
or when the song itself is awesome, but the lyrics are god awful.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah. All right, so why don't you go ahead and throw numbers around?
The art, like I said, the artwork, I can't get the Rob Zombie connection out of my head now, so I'm going to give it a 5.5.
Ouch. I mean, yeah. Not really, but...
Well, like, I think part of it might be because I was at Target Friday, and I saw the DVD of Rob Zombie's new clown murder movie, and I was just looking at it and reading the description, and I'm like, this sounds like the dumbest thing that's ever been concocted by a human brain.
That sounds like a guy that a year ago probably went, oh... Clowns are scaring the shit out of people, and it's all over the news. I'm going to make a movie, and I'm going to make a million. That's what that sounds like.
Oh, yeah, I'm wholly convinced that Rob Zombie pretty much just... He just writes down, like, every bad thing he sees on TV until he goes, oh, all right, this is the one.
Plus, you got to figure they're remaking it, so...
Guy in a squirrel mask.
He's just jumping on the bandwagon.
He's pretty much going to hit every entertainment option he can until he runs out of ideas, which is weird because he ran out of ideas, like, 12 years ago.
Ouch. Well, he's never coming on the show.
Whoops.
All right, what do you think?
Oh, I gave 6.5.
Okay.
That was okay.
I don't feel terrible then because, like I said, I feel like I liked it better than you guys did. I don't know necessarily that I'm going to keep going, but, I mean, if I see the trade for $10 and, like, by the middle of the year or summer, I'll probably pick it up. But I'm probably going to give it, like, a 7.5. I thought it was pretty decent. Wow,
if
I enjoyed it.
If you do read the trade, you tell me the story is pretty awesome. Let me know because I can see potential. I just wasn't really that impressed.
It just depends on which way it goes. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. If it turns out that, you know, he really is the son of the devil and he's gonna, like, do all this hellish amazing things, then, you know, it could be kind of awesome. But if he's just gonna, you know, go about his lawyer days and just empty out a blood blister every episode or issue, then it might be a little fucking weird. But, you know, we'll see. I'm interested to see, but I don't know if I'm interested enough to throw it into my box. You know what I mean?
Just one last thing, though. Another thing that makes me think screeching guitar solos, if you look at the cover and you look at the logo and the three letters that are specifically highlighted, it spells out die. Ooh. I've been listening to a weirdly odd amount of like old Metallica this past week, so I'm picturing like Kill 'Em All just on the loop with that die thing going boom, boom, like a heartbeat on the screen, and it makes me hate this.
Did you see that James Hetfield like had to cancel a show?
No.
In like Denmark or something. He had to postpone their show for like a year because a doctor told him under no circumstances should he sing a note.
Really?
Yeah, like he's all fucked up, so.
He doesn't sing though, he just kind of screams.
Well, I mean, he's not allowed to go, yeah, anymore.
So that's why I saw an ad for a Nickelback tour. They're trying to fill the gaps.
Psyched,
right? Hashtag Creed.
Man, I wonder how that's going to hurt their bottom line, Metallica being gone for a year.
Yeah, that's going to be rough.
Might have to sell the jet.
Yeah.
And fly first class like some sort of caveman person.
Okay. All right, so if you remember what he was saying about the book or whatever, you know, he goes to try and make up with his kid because his kid's volunteering at a haunted house. So we were thinking, hey, over under, let's do carnival rides because some carnivals have haunted houses. We never had them at our Catholic grade school, but hey, I'm sure
some carnivals have monsters. We call them carnies.
Yes, yes, we do. I actually know I know somebody who was a carny. So neat.
That was neat.
You know, and here's a little quick little story too about carnivals and carnival rides. I obviously when I was a kid, I was like they were the greatest thing ever. But then as I got older, I stopped going on the rides so much and just, you know, stuck to the stupid, like, stuffed animals or whatever. Because I don't remember who I was talking to, but somebody, I was like, dude, you want to go on that? And they're like, no, I don't. I'm like, well, why not? He's like, I don't trust anything that spends more time on the back of a truck than it does up and running. I'm like, oh, I kind of see your point. So, kind of weirds me out now. I don't know why, it's just always stuck with me. But, overrated. And I don't know if rides are the same across the country. I have to assume that they are. But there's always, since I was a kid, the one ride was the Zipper. And everyone had went on it, told me how amazing it was. And when I was a kid, I was just too chicken to go on it. And when I got older, I was like, I'm way too fat. That thing's going to fly right off the hinges. So I never went on it, but I was like, you know what? I don't. And I know it sounds cheap because I've never been on it, but I don't think it's all that.
Which one is the Zipper?
It's like, oh, geez. It's two people to like a little cage almost, and then it just spins around this very tall post while the whole post spins around.
Okay. I think I know which one that is.
Yeah. That was a terrible explanation.
It's that thing. It's like one big long, it almost looks like a metal cage slash tube, and it spins on an axis like a Ferris wheel would, except inside there are these little cages that are also on axes inside the cage, and those spin inside while the thing spins around, like, the entire series of cages. It's pretty much like a vomit machine.
Okay.
And it looks, like, completely unsafe, because every time it's going, you just hear rattling, and I just feel like one day one's going to come flying off the...
Oh, I'm sure there's been I'm sure it's claimed a few lives.
And at the very least, like, one of the cages will come undone and just start, you know, banging around inside or something. And with my luck, it'll be me.
But, yeah, that's awesome.
I'm trying to find a picture. I'm going to post it in the message so you'll know what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Mine is going to seem weird, and I'm probably romanticizing it way, way more than I should. But the outdoor bingo game is... No, that was my underrated. God damn it. All right, scratch that. My overrated is the, it's one of those stupid trailers where they have the, like the ring toss or the ball thing where like you try to get the so many rings or balls into the thing and then win one of those stupid glass Iron Maiden or Metallica or Def Leppard mirrors. And you're like, oh, dude, it's going to make me so cool. I'm going to have a like 12 by 12 inch mirror with like Def Leppard On Through the Night on it. It's going to be so awesome. And not only do they lure you in with that whole thing, but you got to get like a bunch of those things on there. But you remember that episode of The Simpsons where they're doing the ring toss and every single, like, they keep missing because the thing, the hole's too big or it's too small or whatever the hell it is? And that was the one where Jim Varney's like, oh, missed it. Oh, so close. Oh, try it again. Like, I feel like that's actually a real thing. Like, there's some guy who did a stint in county jail for, like, heroin, and now he's running the Iron Maiden thing. Being like, oh, here's three rings. Oh, missed again. Here, give me $5. Oh, try it again. Oh, look at that. You still suck. Oh, but try it again. So I feel like those Iron Maiden and Def Leppard mirrors were unattainable, so therefore that thing completely overrated.
Next time there's a carnival, I'm going to go win you one just to prove it wrong.
Oh, because now it'll be like a, you know, Cage the Elephant mirror.
Yeah, now they don't have any more grifters.
No, they're grifters, but they're like meth addicts now, and I don't want a Cage the Elephant mirror. It just doesn't have the same zing as like a Judas Priest British Steel one.
They are coke mirrors, right? That's what they're for, right?
I'm sure they were. Until some biker screen printed the Motley Crue Shout at the Devil cover on there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess your razor blade would probably cut into the screen printing ink if you weren't careful.
Yeah. Not that I've ever had that happen.
No. I know. I have no experience with cocaine except for once I rubbed some on my gums like cops do in the movie. And it was super gross. I've been around it plenty of times, but I've never thought that was something for me.
I have yet to see it in my entire life.
Oh, it looks like shots of aspirin. It tastes like it too.
Awesome.
It had probably been cut with it, and that's probably why it tasted like that. It was not delicious.
Yeah, I think the closest I've been is I was at a party a few times where people were talking about it, but that was as close as I ever got.
Sweet. What about you for overrated?
Yeah. Overrated? Well, here's the thing about me. I'm actually kind of scared of a lot of rides. I don't trust them at all. Ever since I was a kid, I was terrified of them. As I got older, I started being like, you know, fuck it, I'm going to get on the ride, whatever. Like, I didn't stop thinking I would die if I got on it. I just stopped caring if I would die. I'd be like, oh, well, I'll go on this, you know, the Great Dipper down here at the Santa Cruz Boardwalk, and of course I'll be killed by it, but, you know, whatever. And I didn't, and it was pretty fun. And so I started to kind of, like, build up some guts here to, like, try some stuff out. And finally, I had, as a grown man, I think maybe I'd been married on, I finally went on the haunted house ride that I'd been terrified to go on as a child. Like, I remember my parents would take me to a fair or a carnival or something, and they'd be like, well, do you want to go to rides? I'd be like, oh, gosh, do we have time? Like, you know, I wasn't, like, I was never the kid. It was like, oh, please, let's do that. I was just like, oh, man, I don't know. I mean, wasn't there, like, a baby pig that won an award? Don't we need to see that? Like, like I would come up with, like, all those, like, horrible excuses. Because I really was just there for, like, you know, I was just there to kind of be there to see it. And I liked carnival food, elephant ears, and, like, nacho hats and shit like that. Like, I was all about that. Like, actual the rides. Like, there was some I liked quite a bit. I really, which maybe I'll get into that. But a bunch of the ones that were, like, kind of intense, or, you know, we're like blasting, you know, pour some sugar on me or something out of them. I was just like, I don't know if this is for me. But I finally went on the haunted house one, and I was very underwhelmed. I was like, what? This is what I was scared of? Like, this is what you guys are doing? Like, it's, first of all, it's not scary. It's startling at best. And that's it. Like, it was over in like a minute, too. It was like, maybe it wasn't that short, but it was really short. And I was like, seriously, this? This is the haunted house ride. Like, this is nothing. I'm not talking shit. So if someone's like, oh, well, you should go, you know, there's this extreme haunted house in New York. We walk through and people like beat you with rubber hoses, and, you know, a naked guy attacks you and assaults you. Like, I'm not doing those. I'm not calling out haunted houses here in any way, shape or form. And I'm still not going down to like, you know, like the local rock station has their like local haunted house, September 10th, October 31st. It's going to blow your mind. Like those things. Again, probably incredibly startling. I'd probably have a heart attack if I went into one. So I'm not doing that. I'm not calling him out. I'm just saying the little ride where you get in the car and you go around and, like, you know, you're more startled by the sound of the hydraulics working the giant rubber rat that's supposed to come at you than you are the actual rat.
Like, at that point, it's just a pole. The rat's gone.
Exactly.
It just reminds me
of that note with a face on it.
It just reminds me of the Simpsons one where they go through there and Lisa's in there by herself. And then all of a sudden it's like, fear the ravages of old age. And this is the old lady in a barca lounger. And she's like, okay, I guess that's scary.
Yeah. So.
Well, I guess since we're talking haunted houses, I will say I used to, especially, obviously around Halloween, I would try to frequent a lot of the local ones. And the best one I ever went to had this room where they actually buried you alive, which was kind of amazing.
Wow. That sounds intense.
It was a small, maybe, you know, maybe 20, 30 feet wide. You know, it was like a long hallway, you know, and everyone that was in your, you know, group or whatever, probably 20 of us. And they had everybody sit down on the floor with their backs against the wall. It was pitch black. They turned all the lights off. And then you just start feeling like dunk, 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 like on your head. And then all of a sudden the room just filled up with, you know, when you go to like Chuck E. Cheese and they got like the ball pit, it just filled up with a shit ton of plastic balls like that were like, you know, 3 feet piled above your head. It was like the coolest thing ever. So I'm like sitting there in all these balls. I'm like, what's going on right now? So I stood up and they're like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, what the fuck's going on?
That is awesome.
But it was probably one of the coolest things I ever had. And then to supplement it, they had a separate, I guess, attraction over yonder, because that's a unit of length. It was a gigantic blow-up cadaver. And when I say gigantic, I mean you entered the foot and you walked out the guy's ear. But it was just all squishy inside, and like the middle you just see this big heart like pumping, and it was kind of awesome. Never that's have I seen awesome. Anything so extravagant at a haunted house before and again. So, womp womp. But yeah, that was neat. So I guess on to underrated. Now that I've talked about my awesome haunted house experience,
of which I've had almost none, and I've also done the whole, oh man, I mean, are you sure we have time for that ride? I mean, that slide over there looks like it needs somebody to go down it.
I don't know, I think underrated, I had a few where I was thinking like, oh, I used to love that, but I kind of feel like it was usually one of the most popular ones. But then I feel like a lot of people look at something like the Tilt-A-Whirl and go, ah, I fucking always loved that ride, and I would always sit in line waiting anxiously to get on, and I would look for the car that spun around the fastest. And I'm like, that's the car I need to get. And it had nothing to do with the car itself. It was obviously, it's all physics, but you know, that ride to me is still always like super fun. Or potentially, if you get stuck in the one car that never is at the peak just as it's turning and you never get to do a couple of quick spins, then you're on basically, you know, nothing. But when you get that good ride, it's amazing.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
I can't remember. I haven't been on one of those in so long.
Do you not remember what a Tilt-A-Whirl is?
No, I do. I just haven't been on. I'm sure if I went on one now, I'd be like, oh my God, this is terrible. I can't believe I spent $5 for this.
If I went on now, I'd rip it right off its little pin.
That too.
Yet another fat joke by yours truly, but go ahead.
All right, again, I started this earlier, so I flubbed it, but I'll circle back. There was a bingo game at one of the carnivals a long time ago, and I'm probably way overhyping it in my head, but I was like 10 or 11 at the time maybe, and I don't know how, but I turned like $5 into like $30.
Whoa.
So I was just like, oh my God, the bingo game is where it's at. I spent so much time playing this, whatever it was, scratch-off bingo or whatever. And I was like, I got walked away with like $30. And I was like thinking, I could buy anything I want. So I'm sure it sucks. But at the time, when you have no money, you're accustomed to having no money, and now you have $30. That's like, back then I'm thinking in my head, a big baby with fries is $2.99. I can get 10 of these. Like, I have big babies and fries now for 2 weeks. So, that was back when I could eat a big baby and fries and not look like Louis Anderson afterward.
Oh, man. I remember like, figuring out how much money I had by how many tostadas I could buy at Taco Bell.
God, I haven't had a tostada in forever.
I remember how sad I was when those were the only, like, vegan option.
I know, tostada, no cheese. I don't know if you guys did this. This is totally off topic, but on topic of tostadas. back, you know, when most people, most younger kids probably won't realize that Taco Bell had the 59, 69, 79, or 59, 79, 89 cent menu or whatever.
Yep.
And that was basically their entire menu was like under a buck. Not really, but I mean the majority of it. So every time, you know, we would go to shows or go on tour or do anything, like we would stop at a Taco Bell to get food. But my dad would always give me like 10 bucks or 20 bucks or something like that. And after the show, we'd be stopping at Taco Bell. Maybe I bought like a shirt or a 7-inch or something. I still had like a $10 bill left. And I got so tired of like being like, I just want 3 tostadas, but here's my 10. And then I get back like $4 and change or something. And I was like, come on, I just spent like, you know, what the hell, guys? And it got to be, and I was like, I paid mine, whatever. You know, I just got sick and tired of clearly buying somebody like 12 things that I started being like, doing the math real quick and be like, I want 16 tostadas, no cheese. Like, I would figure out how much money that would take, and I would like quickly do the math, and I would order that much, so I would expect zero change back. But I have this giant pile of food that was already bad, and there's no way it was gonna keep. I mean, those things, if you didn't eat them quickly, they pretty much like the bottom fell out of them, and you're just left with like a little frisbee ring of tostada shell.
At least you got your money's worth, I guess.
But yes, I got my money's worth, damn it. And of course, I would give away all of those things to the people in the car. Like, oh, does anyone want these tostadas? I'm like, oh, I'll take one. So I'm still doing the exact same thing. Now I just don't have any.
They don't have a choice, though.
Yeah.
If I'm buying you food, you're going to buy what you're going to eat what I buy.
Yeah, it's a classic Seattle move. It's like, I was so tired of like the conflict of being like, where's my money? I just went like passive aggressive and punished everyone, including the Taco Bell.
They're like, we don't even carry that many shells. Nobody orders these.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a like tough 2 years for me.
Huh.
Yeah.
The tostada years.
I know. The vegan and then thinking that your only option for being vegan is Taco Bell, that was a hard time.
Well, here's how I got around it. There was one Taco Bell near our house, and I went through the drive-thru once, and I asked if, I forget what the ingredient was, but I asked if their burrito shells had the ingredient, and the guy just looked at me and goes, nope, and I was like, fuck it, good enough for me, and then I just said, all right, I'll only go to this Taco Bell from now on. So for like 3 years, I just went to that Taco Bell and said, no, their shells here are vegan, they're good. As if they have different distributors for every restaurant.
Totally. Oh my god, it's like your effort, that guy's effort and your effort matched perfectly. It's like,
I can't honestly think anybody took veganism that seriously where they didn't cut a corner here and there, even if it was like on accident.
Oh, I'm sure I did on accident, but I never purposefully did it.
I didn't do it all the time. Every once in a while I'd be like,
but I would go to Taco Bell and it got to the point they started yelling at me because I would order a six pack of hard shell tacos with no meat but beans. And then they'd have to sit there and try and stuff refried beans into a hard shell taco. They didn't like doing that, so.
My wife's vegan dish at Taco Bell, which I sometimes still get, which I know because it's almost like a mantra in my head, is Mexican pizza, no meat, no cheese, sub beans, sub rice.
I never subbed rice, but I used to get it with beans, no meat all the time. Actually, it comes with beans anyway. But you just get it, no meat, no cheese. I used to do that all the time, but I never thought about the rice.
I know. It's actually not bad.
Is the rice vegan, though?
I believe it is. I don't think they actually go so far as to put chicken or anything in their rice. I think that'd be too expensive.
Although I will say, as far as Taco Bell goes, they have a lot of delicious food, but Mexican pizza is still top of the list for me.
It's pretty damn good. I got to tell you, I don't know if you guys know this. I could open my front door and wing a tennis ball and hit a Taco Bell right now.
Dude, I would...
Across my parking lot.
I'd be easily 400 pounds right now if that was the case. I'd be like, oh, I ain't fucking cooking tonight.
Well, I don't know if everyone knows. I don't know if they've launched it everywhere, but do they have the naked chicken taco there?
Oh, I did not like it.
But you know what it is.
I didn't expect it either. I just think because there's one down the street from work, so we go there for lunch a lot. I'm like, just give me the $5 box of naked chicken. All I saw was naked chicken box. I'm like, oh, that sounds healthy. I didn't realize that it was a fucking taco with a big, giant breaded chicken breast as the shell.
It's a chicken tender that's been, like, folded into a taco-shaped stuff.
It was so bad.
I saw that on Samantha Bee from this past week on YouTube this morning, and I thought it was a joke.
No, they went full on KFC when KFC had the chicken sandwich where the bun was chicken too.
Yeah, the double decker.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, if I would have known that's what it was, I totally would not have gotten it, but I paid my $5.
I had to try it. My wife and I both tried it. It was dumb. I mean, it's just like, it's just a chicken tender with some lettuce and tomato. It's silly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just one of those, like, stunt foods that they have to do occasionally.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a straw just filled with taco meat. Well, what?
Well, they had the, those stupid crispy chicken rolls or whatever. Like, those were good. Like the little tostadas or whatever, or not tostadas. No,
I don't think I had those, or maybe I didn't see those.
But whatever. Yeah, they were like three for a buck or something. It was pretty cheap.
I got a lot of mileage on a Taco Bell today.
I go there a lot. Sorry.
I mean, like literally, like at night on Friday and Saturday nights, I just get to listen to teenagers beat each other to death in the parking lot. Like they keep aging out. They keep getting older and older, and graduating and going to college. And getting jobs, having children, but I hear them before those, no matter what, without fail, all summer long, Friday or Saturday nights, teenagers are fighting in the parking lot across the street from my apartment.
That's so weird. You ever go over there like the concerned father?
No.
You guys gonna knock this off?
They're not on his lawn.
I'd go over there and hand them both steak knives and be like, here, let's get this done. Let's thin this herd.
Here you go, pussy. Let's see what you got.
That could be Bill Burr's thing, or he's saying like the way to get rid of people is to start sinking.
Yeah,
we just start handing out Ginsu knives at a Taco Bell.
One Taco Bell. Anywho, did we finish over under?
Oh, I don't think I did mine. Real quick, mine's difficult because it's the ride called the Zigzag, but there's like seven different rides called the Zigzag, and they're all different. I was looking it up to see if I could find a good picture, It's probably not that great anymore, but when I was a kid, it was, like, all I cared about. I really like the sensation of being kind of thrown around, but it's not like you go up and down on a roller coaster or anything. It's just one of those ones where you sit in. It's kind of like the one you described. And I think it's got, like, four arms, like, in an X.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of, that X spins around. But on the end of each arm is essentially another smaller X with four cars that all face kind of the same, like, they all face forward. So the person in front of you is like kind of like in a clock, like, or a swastika, I guess you would say, maybe. So imagine you're sitting, it's an X with swastikas at the end with people sitting on this, and everything's spinning. So it almost looks like you're going to hit the people like next to you a lot. Like as it's spinning, you come really close to the person next to you, and then you like move away. So it's kind of yanks you forwards and backwards and spins you all at the same time. As a kid, I thought that was so funny. Not even fun, just funny. Like I would laugh and laugh the whole time.
FYI, that still is one of the best rides ever.
Ah, oh, nice. Okay, because yeah, I loved that thing. I've not been on a ride. I have kids, and they've gone to fairs, but I don't think I go with them too much because I'm not really a fair guy so much.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever have that particular ride at these carnivals around here, but like when you go, like we're like an hour and a half, 2 hours from Great America over here, and they have what is essentially. They have that ride. I forget what they call it, but yeah, that's super fun. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Nice.
Oh, carnivals.
Carnivals.
I miss. We used to go to Great America every other Sunday because we had season. Wow. We had season passes, so we just we want to get our money's worth. You know what I mean? Anywho, enough reminiscing. Best thing ever for the week for me. I'm just gonna go with Skythe because. I do have some gripes that I'll get into on when we do the podcast about it, but overall, I was super pleasantly surprised with that. So I'll just stick with that and being cheap.
I was going to pick that, and I probably should, but I'm going to go with Melissa McCarthy's guest appearance on Saturday Night Live last night. I
did not see it.
She came out as Sean Spicer doing a press conference. I laughed hysterically throughout the entire thing, and I was like, man, whoever that woman is that played Sean Spicer was hilarious. And then this morning, did you see Melissa McCarthy on SNL last night? I'm like, that was her? I was like, okay, I guess I like Melissa McCarthy all of a sudden, because that was the fucking funniest thing I've seen in a while. And last night's SNL was pretty fucking good from front to back, but that skit particularly was pretty fucking hilarious. Yeah, I kind of tip my hat to her. She was amazing last night.
That's amazing. I did not see that. I've been having a hard time watching Saturday Night Live. Because it's on at midnight. I won't lie. I'm not asleep. I'm usually playing Skyrim or something at that point. But they always have something really good, but I'm always like, with this Trump thing, part of me is like, stop making jokes about him. It's not funny. It's like, he's not a funny person. We should be sharpening our knives, not sharpening our wits. But then again, you know, they probably are doing a good service, and everything that people have been telling me that's been coming out of it has been really kind of golden. So
yeah, this one was particularly exceptionally good.
I'll look that up. Yeah, but I think my best thing ever right now is I was just laughing at a picture of Donald Trump trying to climb up a hill, and that was really fun to me. I know there's so many things to be shaming him on, and you know, like, I'm not going to be like fat shaming the president or anything like that.
Well, how can you tell with that overgrown suit he always wears?
Oh God, it's so weird.
He looks like a little kid wearing dad's suit.
It's crazy. Well, in the golf outfit, you know, he's wearing like khakis and a polo and his red Make America Great Again hat. And it just looks so sad. But a friend of mine was saying, like, you know how like Hitler had like has a really iconic hairstyle, and like Donald Trump has a really iconic hairstyle? Because wouldn't it be great if like Donald Trump supporters got super into like also having the same hair as Donald Trump does? And you could like see them around, like, oh, there's a Trump supporter, because you could tell by his hair. Like, wouldn't that be amazing looking, just if people just started to really adopt that look? I mean, I don't know what that look is. It's really weird. It's just in and over.
Not going to lie, that would be super helpful, because then I would know who to stay away from.
Psycho neighbor in golf pants? I don't know.
Yeah. This is just the beginning.
It's just baffling. I'm without words at this point. It's sad.
See, I feel like making jokes about him, because he so clearly is obsessed with opinion on him at all times, that he sits there and tweets about how much Saturday Night Live sucks while he's watching it. So I feel like this actually is getting under his skin, so it's totally worth
it. Till he nukes this SNL studios.
Well, Kristen Stewart hosted last night, and she's like, yeah.
She dropped an F-bomb in the beginning.
Well, she said something about, you know, Donald Trump clearly hates me. And she's like, and the reason I know that, she said, is because he tweeted about me 11 times a few years back. And she showed every single tweet that he did about how much she sucks and how much Robert Pattinson can do better. To the point where he said, hey, just so you know, beauty pageant tonight, Robert Pattinson, open invite. You want to meet some classy women or something along those lines. And everything was pretty much like, Kristen Stewart's the worst, sad, or whatever the hell. They were real tweets. They weren't like made up at all. So she's like, yeah. Jesus Christ. So she was like, clearly the president hates me. And she came out as LGBT like a year or two ago. And she's like, in case he wasn't aware, she's like, the fact that I'm gay is really going to make him mad. So I was just like, yeah, he definitely is watching. And he's definitely like stewing in his footy pajamas. I'm totally.
That is amazing. I just pulled up the link to the Sean Spicer thing with Melissa McCarthy, so I'm going to watch this. It looks like it's going to be great.
It's pretty fantastic.
I feel like I need to start getting on board with SNL.
Yeah, I know. It actually must be incredibly difficult. Maybe not difficult. It's probably very inspiring to write, but it's got to be like, you got to really be careful about your tone. Like, this is, they have to know how many more people are watching this and looking for. You know, a time where we have like Jon Stewart and John Oliver and Samantha Bee and these sort of like really pointed political comedians, SNL, just to remain relevant, has got to kind of try to ride that a little bit, because the Trump presidency just demands mockery at every turn. I mean, they're only able to do a show once a week, and then they have to pick like, what's the one thing this week we focus on? What's the one thing that this clown has done that resonates through an entire week that we can write, you know, practice, cast, all this stuff, like, you know, do our rehearsals and then be able to perform live in front of people on Saturday and have it still play, like, difficult. Like, just the craft of it has got to be hard.
Like, I know,
because every single day there's something brand new you could do.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, I know it's only been a few weeks, but I feel like he's done so many shitty, stupid things every week. Like, you could pretty much pick anything and it's still gonna be relevant.
They covered a lot of ground last night,
but you know, that might thin out as the years go on. And it was funny, because last night we were sitting here pseudo debating like whether or not he'll be impeached or he'll be assassinated. I'm like, dude, no, neither, dude. He's just going to fucking quit. I don't think he'll make it past 2 years before he just can't take it anymore and he quits. He'll just step down. I mean,
apparently all of this, the protests and the mockery and all that stuff is really getting to him.
It's simple, like, though. Don't be a piece of shit. I mean, you know, it's the old saying, you know, if one person tells you to feel sick or you look sick, it's no big deal. But, you know, 2-3 people tell you to feel sick, you look sick, then you might want to go see a doctor. Well, hey, mm-hmm. Half the country's telling you you're a fucking asshole. Maybe it's time to sit up and, like, take notice. No, whatever. This can go on for another 45 minutes.
So. It did.
I will, we'll cut it there.
Sounds good.
I think everyone knows how we feel at this point, so.
I think so.
But, so that's our show for the week. I would like to tell you what we're going to do next week, but I believe it's Chris's pick, and since he's not here, oops. Other than that, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can follow me on Snapchat at XorsonX. You can follow me on Instagram at Slevin77. You can follow Brian on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. You can follow Damien on Twitter at Damien Johnston. And you can find all of our shows at comicroast.com and all of our written stuff at reviewandroast.com. Check out our Facebook, facebook.com/reviewandroast. And we will see you next week.